You are listening to the Frillo Bros Tech Podcast, Episode 80, a timeline on and of your cell phone.
So this was not an April Fool's joke. This is just cool. Tesla expects its first profits this quarter, coming into whatever. I have no idea what quarter we're coming into. If it's not Christmas, I don't know what quarter it is.
Q2.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people at first read this as, they're going to be, they're profitable. It's not technically true yet, but they're announcing that they expect to be. Linked to the wrong article.
I was going to say, I have no clue what you linked to, but that's okay.
Oh, man, it's like it's last week again. But, yeah, I'll just give you the lowdown. I don't know. There's not much more to it than that. They're expecting to be profitable, which is exciting for me because, I'm a big fan of Elon Musk, the CEO. I think that this is it's a cool product. I think I read a couple of interesting articles this week, evidently I didn't link to, about where they were talking about, competitive electric car companies and really like what's been the difference that made the difference for Tesla. And the big thing that everybody comes back to is that Tesla really has invested in their own drivetrain and their own battery technology. And they started focusing on what goes on inside the car before they focused on how the car looks. Whereas a lot of the other real big players in the market for electric cars have said, there's good drivetrain technology out there. There's good battery technology out there. We'll buy that off the shelf. We'll focus on how it looks. We'll sell a sexy looking car and we'll sell it for a lot less. And it'll work. But the problem is that the performance isn't enough to actually get you over that hump. Whereas Tesla's really, they've gotten over that performance. They're close enough to the lowest bar performance wise that it's just people are able to justify the cost for their mid-range expensive car. So you're no longer talking about
how much
the
again?
Rich and the. I think it's like $50,000.
Oh
I think
gosh.
This one is.
All right.
Yeah. But it's not the Tesla Roadster, and the thing is that, man, they're so good. Because it's both of their cars, the Tesla Roadster and the Model S, are such good-looking cars, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You probably haven't gotten
so
to see the Tesla S up close, have you, Dan?
No, just videos.
Well, yeah, but... Well, so Elon Musk has talked about it. It's interesting. He had he did this talk years and years ago that kind of got re-dug up because he was talking about the fact that he wanted to make his roadmap for Tesla was we're going to make a super high-end car and we're going to sell that and we don't expect to sell a lot. And then we're going to make a mid-range car. It's going to be expensive, but it will be more affordable and we hope to expand it.
How much is the Roadster again?
It's like $100,000. It's a luxury sports car is what it is. And
it's almost like that was just an experimental prototype that they figured, why not? Let's sell a couple hundred and recoup our costs.
Well, that was the point. I mean, that was the thing. It's not even, I think at that point, it wasn't even about recouping costs. It was about the only way to really get our mind share to get people thinking about it is to have them on the road. It was an advertising campaign. That entire thing was, we're going to work on the drivetrain. And then the Roadsters were, because they used they literally buy the bodies from, the Lotus bodies. You can't tell the difference between a Roadster and a Lotus if you don't see the name on the cars. But the Lotus is a rare enough car that it's still very, it's very noticeable when you see one on the road. And the Model S,
right.
Once again, I mean, it looks like a four-door sedan, but it's just got, it just looks sleek. It looks good. And so there's a much more about this as the mindshare, but he very clearly stated that the roadmap was to finally make make an affordable consumer car, to make a car that's a more in your $25,000 price range, something that families can, they're expensive, but families can justify affording them. And so all expectations is that what comes next.
Not this family.
I know. Yeah, seriously. And all expectation is that that is what comes next in this roadmap, but it's really exciting that already they're, you know, they don't have to, you don't have to basically make do with just having Elon Musk be really rich in order to make it work. You know, it's
that is nice. Yeah,
they're going to turn a profit, which is pretty cool. You know, and it's cool. You know, yeah. So, oh, I'm excited about it, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing more of what comes out of that company. And I love seeing their cars on the roads because they're good looking cars. It's funny. Mm-hmm. I care. I think the environmental aspect of it is interesting, but that's not why I get excited about these cars at all. It's just because it's brilliant engineering and they look great. They're just very cool cars. You know, it's the motor, you know, it's the motorhead guy inside of me that's like, oh, these are awesome. You know, and so they're, I don't know. It's cool. I'm stoked. But yeah. So this is a
moment of silence.
I know, yeah.
Moment of silence.
Dun 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 dun
dun for LucasArts.
Dun 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 dun. Wait, now wait. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't really do that. I did the Death March.
The
Imperial Death March. Oh, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, LucasArts.
Yeah, so 157 days ago, Disney bought LucasArts, and we all got excited for Star Wars.
That was 157 days ago? Holy cow.
Yeah. But one of the other things that happened with that is Disney is shutting down LucasArts and canceling all development of their games.
Yeah.
So, which apparently the only one that really mattered was Star Wars 1313, which knew nothing about.
It wasn't the only one that matters. There was another one that they were developing. It was Star Wars 1313 was a big one, and then there was a. Okay, evidently it wasn't the only one that matters. But so. Yeah. So yeah.
So, but they did say that some of the development will continue in another studio, or you know, they'll just license it out. They'll do what Disney does, right? Which is license out the rights of their properties to other developers to make games for them.
So the thought is that Star Wars 1313 is dead. I mean, they don't think anybody will. They don't think anybody's gonna want the property. They think that they.
Oh no! I was speaking more generally. The Star Wars name,
right?
Not
well. What's interesting about this is
these games.
The initial response that I had was LucasArts. You can't do that. LucasArts is like this. You know, it's just you know, it's a legend. It's got history. You know, and you get kind of all bent out of shape when you realize that they're like. You know, dismantling this like one of the early innovators in the you know in the video game industry, and you know creators of such classics as you know your Dark Forces, your X Wings, your Rebel Assaults, and games like that. But the reality of it is that in the last like 10 years, there's only been like two giant hits. That have come out of the Star Wars universe, and that's Star Wars Battlefront and Knights of the Old Republic, and even the Force Unleashed was kind of a tempered hit. But the thing is that Knights of the Old Republic and Battlefront were actually developed by other studios that had licensed the title from the
interesting. Groups.
Right. So the three biggest games, only the one that was the least successful was actually made in house. Everything else was made out of house. And the thing is that LucasArts used to be more than just Star Wars video games. LucasArts used to be a major video game developer that was building all sorts of creative, interesting, different IP. And And that just had stopped over the years. Now they just became a, we make Star Wars video games. And we don't even make the best Star Wars video games. So it's like, it's funny. I was just not really very cognizant of the fact that that was what was going on with LucasArts. Because I didn't realize that Battlefront and Knights of the Old Republic were made by different video games. But it's like, when you actually see like, okay, who made what and when, you realize, oh, that's right. That I don't make games that people like. So, yeah, I can see why.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. It's purely just nostalgia that you're like, ah, oh, see them go by. So here's what you can do. Two of my, like, I actually think these were like the some of the first computer games that I played. They were Day of the Tentacle and Full Throttle, which are classically awesome. They're the, I think they're the same vein as the Monkey Island games, where you click around, then you can do things like you can push, you can grab, you can pick up, you can talk to people, and you have essentially an inventory of things that you can then use, and the object is to kind of work your way through whatever the problem is. And Day of the Tentacle, the world gets taken over by tentacles, and there's time travel.
Tentacles, yeah. Tentacles.
Yeah. And then in Full Throttle, you're the leader of a biker gang, and you get beat up, and you just got to try to figure out, like, what's going on with this, you know, when you finally wake up.
And, I have always thought that Full Throttle would make a fantastic movie. A fantastic movie.
It would be good. I would agree with that. It's just a purely, it's a fun game too. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. This is for Furlough Bros special only, okay? This was a while ago, man. I don't actually remember when I did it, and I just had to re-upload it. But a while ago, I got the CDs back from you, from home. And yes. I, in an attempt to play them on my computer, I learned that I could not.
Yeah.
And so I
turns out they were made for DOS.
Yeah. So I started doing some internet research. And what I found out was that you don't actually have to use the CDs to play them, which is awesome. And so what I have done is I actually zipped those two games and put them onto my server, and then gave instructions on how to get them to play, because you can use pretty much a virtual machine to play them. And so if you go to furlough.net/share, it'll automatically forward you to old school LucasArts games, and it has those two. And don't do it right now, because I'm re-uploading the files, but they'll be up by the time this podcast is.
And so that people don't have to re-listen to this part over and over again, they can just go to furloughbros.com, correct? And that the link will be there.
Yeah. I'll add the link to furloughbros.com, and then it'll be furlough.net/share, and you'll be able to just follow the instructions. And I just republished the page that I put up a while ago. Because I think once I discovered it, I shared it with a bunch of friends. I'm like, dude, here's how you do this.
It's true. I think this computer, I could play right now.
You could. You could. So, with no CD, which is pretty awesome. So, that's one way that you can relive the glory days of LucasArts video games. And I'm pretty sure that works with all their games. And I can't remember. I might have just gone into the Explorer and taken the files off the CD.
Yeah.
I don't think I found it online anywhere. I think I just grabbed them literally off the CD.
What are you going to say? Yeah. Back in the day when protecting your games was really a big thing, you know, it's pretty easy to, because I was going to say, you're not even mounting the disc, you're just up and playing it. That's very cool. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, so you will have to check it out. Once it's done uploading, which, like I said, by the time you, dear listener, hear this, it will be done. It'll be cool. Up there. So just go to furloughbros.com, find the link that'll say something like play dot and full throttle. Dot is day of the tentacle. You'll see it. So anyways, sad news. There it is.
Right. Well, and speaking also, of dead technology or dying technology, there's a we got to have another moment of silence this time for WebKit.
Yeah, in a blink, it's gone.
Oh, nice. That's a good pun. So WebKit, for those of you that, like, we talk about this every once in a while, this is a cool little transitionary piece of technology. Turns out it's transitionary. We thought it was like a fundamental underpinning of the internet, but evidently not. WebKit was this, Apple started to develop a new engine for their browser, and this engine was designed to render HTML5, which was kind of a big deal since HTML5 didn't exist as a as an agreed upon standard yet. So they're just kind of making it up as they went. And in order to at some point they realized that in order to kind of get everybody else on the bandwagon, they of the standards that they were pushing, because WebKit would eventually go on to become the underpinnings of Safari for your mobile browser, Safari for your desktop browser, and they wanted everybody to get on board with it. So what they did was they came up with this clever idea. Look, we'll publish this engine as an open source project. We'll let anybody use it as that wants it, submit to it, and we'll manage it for a bit, and then other companies can get in on it. And when they launched the project, Google took some liking to it. They thought it was pretty cool. So Google eventually incorporated that and used WebKit as the underpinnings of, or as the engine for Chrome. And right. Eventually Mozilla got on board too with Firefox, and Opera was had just announced a couple weeks ago that they were going to adopt WebKit as their engine. And Apple at some point decided to actually move away from it because they're rogues. They hate to play nice with anybody.
Really? Did they?
So, I knew that. I was vaguely aware of it. I can't remember what they call their engine. It's not important. But they moved away from it. But it's essentially the same engine, and what they did was they used a term that's called forking it, where you essentially say, we are going to, at this point, we're going to start with WebKit, and we're going to move in another direction. And this new direction is our own code, but it's based historically on WebKit. And at that point, Google took over control of WebKit, and WebKit, you know, continued to become the main engine of Chrome. But the problem is that when you've got a bunch of different companies, often of a lot of importance and size, using the same
a lot of importance and size,
you know, using the same code, and you're all supposed to be on the same like rev of it, so you're all working together. And that oftentimes meant that Google was putting in huge amount of work to make the code work and adding stuff that would generate bugs. And problems that have to go in and fix in order to get stuff to work on their browser as well as Firefox. And it was crazy because it was like, you know, they're spending all this time trying to keep it open for other people, and so that everybody was working on the same piece of technology, when really the original idea was you'd have all your main browsers would be running on the same thing. And the goal was WebKit would become the engine, and you'd kind of have these different skins for IE, for Safari, for Chrome, for Firefox. And then you'd have your own JavaScript engine, and you'd have your own this engine, but how it actually rendered HTML5 and CSS would all be the same. But Microsoft has no intention of moving over. Apple already forked it for their own purposes, so Google decided to do the same. And pretty much is going to end development on WebKit. Blink is the name of the new engine. And it's going to be literally day one, it starts as WebKit, and they're basically just going to cut out a bunch of junk that they don't need. It is open source, so other companies can use it, but it won't be open collaboration. You'll have to be they have requirements.
It's open source, like Android is open source.
Exactly. So Opera, who just announced they're moving over to WebKit, like 2 days after Google made their announcement, were like, so we're going over to Blink instead. Nice. Like, I don't even know what it is yet. Google has given permission for their developers to say, hey, you can, whatever you're adding to Blink, since that's open source, you can move that on over to WebKit too. So you can just keep on developing for WebKit if you want, which everyone's like, yeah, these engineers that are working 40 hours a week on Blink are going to want to spend 5 minutes moving code into WebKit as well, much less the hours that it would take to keep them in parity. So they're like, no, this is it for WebKit. That was fun and all, but end of a moment. Kind of a cool moment in collaboration. It was a great job mm-hmm. on Apple's part to get the entire industry off of, and really and truly what it was, in my opinion, was it was a big move to get us off of what was that one piece of technology? I can't remember what it's called anymore. Flash. That's what it was.
Okay. You know,
basically figure out how to do video in the on the browser. And oh man, Steve Jobs was smart. It's crazy. It's crazy how good he was at that sort of stuff, you know. He decided he didn't want to use Flash, so they came up with this giant scheme, and like 5 years later, now that they've done what they wanted to do, it's going away. Oh yeah, we don't need that anymore. Oh, that's clever.
We're good. Well, I mean, it's still there. If anything, it's just taking on a new name.
Yeah.
Is one way to think about it.
Well, yeah, but the only reason why what WebKit was it was a project that everybody could collaborate on and everybody could use. So it was truly an open source engine. And I think, which gave a lot of encouragement to smaller companies like Opera, ironically, since they never, you know, they took forever to get to move to it. Whereas now it's basically Google's browser. Yeah, you can use it, but if you don't play nice with what Google is doing, you can't do your own thing in your own unique way, which is, mm-hmm. it's different, but it's, you know, it is what it is. I can't, you know, c'est la vie, as they say in France.
Mm-hmm.